Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn,
Zorn, we sing the praises of Zorn.
That's a cover. Rare. He's got a cover version now. Yeah. Wayne's got a cover version.
You didn't know I could sing so low, did you?
No, that was fantastic.
That's wonderful.
I'll be playing Caiaphas in Jesus Christ. Wow. Superstar.
I just bought two tickets.
I'm exhausted. I had to walk over here. I used to come down the stairs, like three flights of stairs. Now I got to walk over here.
For people who don't understand, the reason of that is that forever we've been based here, both the newspaper and our radio station and the Tribune Tower. You guys have already made the move over to our new building.
Right. My office is exactly three floors. I'm on the fourth floor here. You guys on the first floor. Just like get in the stairs and go right down. I could have had a pole. I
mean, yeah, that would have been nice.
But we're going to be in different buildings. Now.
Right, but you'll be closer, actually. We moved down to Prudential, one of the Prudential buildings down there. And this morning, it was just crazy. It was like, everyone felt like at the first day of school, you know, when you go and you don't know where your locker is.
Right,
you don't know, like the first day of junior high, you don't know where the locker is, you don't know where the bathrooms are, you don't know where anything is, and you wonder if the kids are going to like you, and you kind of gravitate toward familiar faces. That was exactly what it was like. Place looks like a sports bar. We've got TVs everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure I understand. I mean, like, The Price is Right is on.
Oh.
Let's make a deal. I'm not sure. I get having CNN and MSNBC and Fox News running in the background. But we got all these game
shows.
But
if Wayne Brady says or does something outrageous during Let's Make a Deal, you guys will be.
You would want to know. You'd want to jump on that.
Now wait a minute. After the morning news shows, that's what kicks in. So they had the morning news shows.
I guess so. But someone has to be in charge. It's a very funny look, and they're huge TVs. Wonderful, much better than I have at home. They're hanging everywhere.
That's not right.
And we're really sitting close to each other. It's very, very different feel over there. So
the seating arrangement at our new place is very different too. Everybody is a little more closer together. I think that was intentional, don't you?
I think it's basically an economy move.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Although we have all these little rooms, they're called huddle rooms, where you're allowed to go and meet with people like one-on-one, and you can get some peace and quiet. There are health rooms, which I think is another name for a lactation room.
Oh.
It's like gender.
That might not be for you.
Well, but if I'm feeling peaked, you know,
right.
I could go and sit in there.
God, I haven't thought of that word peaked since I was a little girl. You look peaked, said the school nurse to me.
That's the first word they teach school nurses. Say this with me, peaked. All right, you can be a school nurse.
You look peaked. So it's going to be a whole new experience. But we do have these really cool desks that you press one button and it goes all the way up. And then
oh.
The button goes down. Standing desks, which I've never used.
It's like
before.
A carnival ride.
Have you ever used one?
No.
Desk? No.
We're going to have in the new studio, the counter is up higher, so if you want to stand, which I always like to stand. We used to stand a lot doing radio before, but this, it's like you have to sit down. You can sit or stand at the new place, but it doesn't move.
When Jonathan Brandmeier was here briefly, didn't he stand up? I seem to remember photos of him standing up where you are, Wendy, but standing up and bending down.
It would be hard to do.
I've never seen him sit down, and I've known him a long time.
Right.
Hyper rooster.
But, you know, noted pet expert Steve Dale stands while he does his show. Not when he's a guest on ours, but when he does his own, he stands.
You get more oxygen to your brain, and then you say better things.
They say, like, sitting.
That's my excuse, by the way.
Yeah, I believe you. I do believe you.
If so, every time something goes, you say something dumb, you say, oh, God, if only I were standing up.
Right.
I'm sitting on my brains.
they say that sitting is like the new smoking. It's a bad thing to sit a lot.
It is bad for you.
And so people sit on little exercise balls, and then they have these standing desks. And I was using it for the first time this morning. I was just answering email. I kind of liked it. You know, for a short time.
Feel more productive.
I guess.
Somebody put out a work desk where you can, it's a desk where you sit, but it also has a bicycle feature, so you can pedal while you're doing your work.
I've seen those. I've seen treadmill desks,
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That seems...
All right, that's a little too much.
You're doing a lot at one time.
You could maybe do your show on the air like that. Just we would do
Well...
We'll be out of breath around 10:08.
How fit you would be. That would be so wonderful.
That's true. What about the nostalgia factor? There's got to be an element to that for you. How many years have you been in this building?
Well, I was first interviewed here in 1980, in January of 1980. So that's, 38 years ago when I first came here. And the room I was interviewed in was, again, right upstairs. And the room is right next to the room that I ended up having an office
in. Oh, wow.
all these years later. And I remember because the woman who interviewed me was a city editor, and some story was breaking. I don't know what. So she would ask me a couple questions, and then she'd go, "Just a minute, hang on," and she'd run out. It was very dramatic. I felt like I was on the front page or something like that. She'd go back, and then like 20 minutes later, she'd come back and go, "I think things are under control." And then she'd say, "So, you know, how, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Wait a minute, hold that thought," and run out. So I was there for like 2 hours, looking out at this at the building right across the street, thinking, "Boy, it would sure be cool to work here." And it was.
Your story, there's something I've always wondered, and I don't know if this only happens in movies or TV shows about newspapers, but does anyone ever say stop the presses, or is that just a staple that you see in movies about newspapers?
I would think that, yeah, it would happen. I can't think of a time that it did.
Yeah.
But that, you know, news would, first of all, we used to print all these. Remember the Green Streak edition?
Sure.
We would print like throughout the day various editions.
Because there were updates always.
So if you could have something like a Green Streak being printed, and then suddenly something happened, you know, where President Reagan was shot or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they literally did stop the presses. I don't know that they shout stop the presses, but they may say, you know, hang on, we need to, you know, replate this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that does happen. It's this old technology that we have where we're trying to figure out eight hours in advance what you're going to want to see on your doorstep the next morning.
The famous Tribune headline of Harry Truman holding up a newspaper, Chicago Tribune, that says Dewey defeats Truman with a look on his face of, this didn't happen. Does that paper physically exist somewhere on the premises here?
I don't know if the paper does. We certainly have the plate for it, and it's a display that we have, and it's something that we used to kind of embrace. It was our logo. When we first went on to AOL, that was our logo, was Truman holding that paper. And it's something that actually really haunted the paper, still does in some ways, where we don't ever want to do that again. Obviously, no paper does, but that was really embarrassing.
So that paper went out to all the subscribers in the morning because it so looked like Dewey had defeated Truman. That was physically delivered,
right? It's one of those things. Yeah, I think it was. I don't think all the papers were. I think it was just
a subset of the edition
of the paper.
Yeah.
But what happened was that, you know, every election night, we're up against the clock because the polls close at 7, and the counting is always slow, and the reports are slow. So you look at all these key precincts, and you often, like on TV, remember when they made a call, Florida was for Gore, and they pulled it back, and so on. I mean, that happens in our newsroom, too, but we can't just say, oh, well, you know, we said a few minutes ago it was Gore, now it's Bush. We have to make a call, and so I think we were much more casual back in, what was it, 1948, I think it was, right? Much more casual about that, thinking, well, you know, these precincts look like they've gone. It looks like the Electoral College is going to go this way. Let's, you know, print it. Let's go with it.
Right.
We'll take a chance. We will do that now, you know. Our threshold for that is much, much higher now, so that we really have to be sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll say, you know, it's a squeaker or something.
Right.
Even when we think we know who won.
Just to be noncommittal.
We got to be sure.
Yeah.
Because, and then again, the Dewey defeats Truman headline comes up. It comes up on every election night. People say, we don't want another Dewey defeats Truman thing. So it was in some ways a good thing that happened to us. It made us not make that mistake again.
All right, a quick break and then more with Eric Zorn. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy. But first, before anything else, this needs to be said. It's Bing Crosby time, Wendy. You know, you spend
about...
I'd
like to sleep with Bing Crosby and those nice Brooklyn and sheets.
You've said that in the past, and we've gotten angry letters from the Crosby family.
Eric Zorn is here for the last time probably in this studio.
I love this studio. This is such a nice thing. I like looking at the people and waving to them.
Yep.
And they give me the finger. And
yep.
It
shows that they care.
It does.
That's what
they're,
it means.
They're engaged listeners.
Can we talk about what you wrote yesterday in the Tribune?
Single, yeah. You know, I came back to this issue of Rod Blagojevich and whether he should still be in prison.
Yeah.
At last Tuesday, his lawyers filed the paperwork for executive clemency, which is the formal process that you go through if you want, in this case, the president to give you a break. And there are good arguments on both sides. We've hashed them out here before, but it was 14 years too long. How bad a crime was it that he committed? Other corrupt politicians have done much less time and so on. I can go either way on that. But one of the things that really strikes me, and it struck me while he was in office, was that when you're governor of Illinois, you also have commutation pardon powers. It's executive clemency. It's this power that traces back to the divine right of kings in terms of our in common law. And the governor
has to be a crime that is committed within the boundaries of Illinois for a governor.
Well, it's a state crime, not the boundaries of Illinois, but a state crime. State crimes and federal crimes. The president has jurisdiction over federal crimes, and the governor has jurisdiction over state crimes, which would be murder, shoplifting, you know, all kinds of misdemeanors. Most crimes are. Every crime that's down at the Layton courthouse, all those things, they're all state crimes. So he has this power. Governors have this power. And he relentlessly refused to exercise it. He, by the time he left office, there were more than 3,000 petitions from people who wanted pardons or commutations from him, and that he was not acting on. And the obvious reason was that it's controversial. When you deny somebody, it can be controversial. And when you let somebody go, or you release someone from their obligation, that can be controversial. A lot of these people were not in prison at the time. They were people who had felony convictions. You know, something like, you know, some woman had been convicted of a felony for shooting at her abusive husband, things like that, 20 years ago. And they think, well, I'm having trouble getting a job.
Right.
You know, felony convictions are a very difficult thing to overcome when you're looking for, when you're looking to move on with your life.
Sure.
So 3,000 people have been asking him for relief, and he was ignoring them. He wasn't acting on these. He acted on only some real easy ones, and of 93% of those, he denied. So...
has anyone brought that up to him?
To him, I don't know. He hasn't talked to me, but I tried to bring it up to him, because before he'd gone into prison, he was on the radio on WLS. They gave him a show.
Mm-hmm. I worked with him one day.
Did you?
I did traffic. He sat in for Don and Roma, and he was super nice.
Yeah. He's a friendly guy.
He really is.
He truly is. He's charming. That's how he got elected. And I offered at that point to debate him on this, because he was accusing Pat Quinn of being slow on pardons, which was absurd. But the question is, these are people who, you know, they've got families, like he's got a family. They've got, in some cases, plausible claims of innocence, or that their crimes weren't as serious as the punishment they're having to endure. And rather than giving them an answer, yes or no, he just sat on it. And like I said, Cabrini-Green Legal Aid had to sue him. They lost that suit, but the state lawmakers passed a law that allowed people who were waiting like this on Bogleyevich to go around him to the courts. He tried to veto that bill, but they overrode his veto. So he was really, and this stack of 3,000 was the biggest by far in the country.
This is not
normal.
That's a huge amount.
So karma here kind of demands that he at least be made to wait. Now he's put in the paperwork. Let's let him wait the way he made so many other people wait for an answer.
But now Donald Trump, it seems to me that he's going to commute the sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Because why would you even bring it up?
That would be
the biggest, meanest psych ever.
No, he will. This is a columnist filling a column on Sunday with something to get people to think. It's not going to, Donald Trump's not going to read it and go, you know, he's right.
But the stem of this is from The Apprentice, right? If Blagojevich doesn't show up on Trump's show, on his TV show, then Donald Trump doesn't have any vested interest in Rod Blagojevich, other than the fact that they knew each other for a little while.
Right, and I think he's pretty clearly using this, exercising his pardon power. He's talking about pardoning Muhammad Ali.
Right, who doesn't need to be pardoned.
He doesn't need to be pardoned. His conviction's already been overturned. But this is Trump using, I think, his pardon theater. And I think what he's doing is he's sending a message to Paul Manafort, to Mike Flynn, all these other people who are under indictment or have pleaded guilty, that they should not turn on him. They should not break bad on him, because
he's
going to protect them. He's going to pardon them. In the end, he's going to say, this whole thing is a witch hunt. I'm going to pardon everybody. I'm going to end
including
this.
Himself, he said, if he had done something wrong, which he didn't.
But he said
he would have the power to pardon himself.
People wouldn't stand for that. I'm sorry.
How would that play amongst most of America if he did have to pardon himself?
Well, if you'd asked me this 2 years ago, if a president under investigation would pardon himself, would the public stand for it, the answer would clearly be no.
Right.
There would be riots in the streets. But now it just seems like we have defined normal down to the crazy things that happen. He's going to fight with Canada now. You know?
Right.
It's like, how does this happen? How are people not completely outraged all the time by what's going on? But so I can see him just saying, I mean, this is just a witch hunt, that there's nothing to this. This is all politically motivated. He says that he's trying to imply that Mueller is a Democrat, which is absurd.
Yeah.
And also Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, that he's a Democrat. These guys are all Republicans.
Yeah.
And he's trying to make it look like this is the Democrats out to get him. But the astounding thing is, when you look at polls, his base voters believe him and support him. I think this is a witch hunt. So you're going to have a country, you know, 40% of people still really support him, and they would support him if he did this. And it would be a rollicking issue. But I don't think, given the way that people in Congress, senators and congressmen, are not standing up to him in his own party. You see, you know, Jeff Flake and a few of the Republicans, John McCain, but those people are not going to run for re-election. Flake is not running. John McCain is probably going
to
die.
So they have nothing to lose, essentially.
So they've got nothing to lose, but those with something to lose, those who are running for re-election, are not standing up to him. So there seems to me like almost no chance that Trump would be removed from office. He might be impeached by a Democratic House, but the vote in the Senate would have to be 2/3, and I just don't see that happening at all. I think that we're all in our corners, we're all in our silos, so that's not going to happen. So he could, I think, that if he decides that this is just too much of a problem for him, he could pardon everybody. He could probably pardon Jared and Ivanka all of his staff, anyone who might be implicated in this, and his attorney, you know, all those people. He could just say, well, you know what, you know,
Blanket pardons for everyone.
And you can pardon people in advance.
Can you?
Yes, you can. Well, look what Ford did for Nixon, right? I mean, Ford just pardoned Nixon before Nixon was even charged with anything.
Are we being filmed? Is this a reality show that's going to come out, you know, 3 years from now?
Yeah. I'm too young to remember the reaction to Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon, but how did that play out?
I think people were angry about it. I'm not too young to remember it, but you were like me. I mean, we were sentient, but we weren't. This wasn't part. We were thinking about sports and girls.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You were what?
Sentient.
Sentient. We were like thinking people, but
we were thinking about sports and girls.
We were thinking about sports and girls as opposed to Richard Nixon, which we're now thinking about.
Bill remembers his days back in the crib, though, so I'm surprised you don't remember this.
Bill's a trivia expert, so he probably remembers the colors tie that Nixon was wearing when he resigned. But it was, I think, a factor in Ford not winning re-election.
Yeah.
I don't know how big a factor, but people were angry about that. They wanted Nixon to pay a price. The alternative argument was, and that he made, which was that the country needed to move on beyond this scandal, beyond Watergate, and that putting the president on trial would be very disruptive to the country and serve no purpose because Nixon had lost his good name.
Doesn't Watergate seem small in comparison to what's going on lately?
Compared to the allegations, yes, it really does. It really does. And what's going on right now with Trump at the G7 alienating just about all of our allies while he's saying all these nice things about Kim Jong-un and he wants Russia to be Putin. Back in this alliance. And you're sort of wondering, if Bill Clinton had done this or Barack Obama had done this, you know, Republicans would be burning Washington down.
Yeah.
They really would be. I mean, they were criticized. When Obama even mentioned that he would think about talking to Kim Jong-un, they were like, you're naive, you're a simpleton, you're a fool, this would never happen. And now Trump's going over there with just saying that his personality alone is going to
and he'll know in the first minute whether or not it's working.
Because he does deals. That's what he does, is what he says. Like
1 minute.
Like Trump Airlines and Trump University and all those
Sentient.
That's why I didn't know what it was. It's sentient. I felt really stupid. Sentient. I didn't know what that meant.
Is that not
sentient?
Sentient.
I just felt stupid. So
now I feel stupid. Great.
That's how you do things.
You're not supposed to do this to your guest.
A fine way to say goodbye to you in our last show in the Tribune Tower.
That's the Teutonic pronunciation, clearly.
That's the British way.
That's Eric Zorn, everybody. British. He's in the Tribune, and that's where you should read him.
Yes, and where you can read it, I don't have to pronounce the words.
Right. So true. Thanks, Eric. We'll find out what's coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.